the most concentrated part of our base. And what we're going to need to make this campaign really have an impact is we're going to need your help, and I want to appeal to you for help. We're going to need volunteers, first of all, to work on our campaign. We're going to need someone to handle the media, because we're probably not going to be able to afford extensive advertising, so a lot of our publicity is going to have to come from the press. We need people to distribute campaign literature. We need people to, a lot of us are members of other political groups or civic associations, Kiwanis like this. We want you to get us invited to come talk to your group, make the pitch. And we're going to need money as well. So far we've raised about $1,000. I just made my first campaign contribution last week. The filing fee was $290 each, and I paid my own filing fee because I figured that if I'm not willing to contribute to my own campaign, then how can I ask other people to do it? So maybe you can't give us $100. Most people can give $20 or $50. And if five people give us $20, that's the same as one person giving us $100. It all adds up. Last governor's race, the two major party candidates, between them raised $36 million. Now, we're not going to come
here.
Right, you know, it's above the limit. You can't give that much. we're not going to come anywhere near that, but we don't need to, because money can't buy elections. If money could buy elections, then Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, who is a multimillionaire, she would be in the last year of her second term. But actually, of course, she lost that election 8 years ago. What money does is it gets you heard. But if people don't like what you're saying, then they're not going to vote for you. So I think we have a lot of exciting ideas that are going to grab people. I'm a leader in the peace movement, and I'm going to be making the pitch. Now that we're on the ballot, I'm going to be making the pitch to a lot of peace lists that we're on, including a Bring the Guard Home in Maryland list. Susan didn't mention it, but what the Gosniaga administration wants to do for gun rights is going to be just as exciting to gun rights voters as Governor Gosniaga ordering Maryland Guard Home will be to peace voters. So I think there's a lot of potential on this. We want to have an impact. We want to shake things up. And I hope you'll give us your support. Thank you.
Specifically regarding the Second Amendment, what is the Gosniaga administration?
Okay, well, three things really. One is the Maryland is a discretionary issue state for concealed carry permit. The superintendent of the state police may issue a permit to a qualified individual, no felony records, all that, at his discretion. And the superintendent of the state police is appointed by the governor. Therefore, we are going to, Governor Gosniaga will make sure that the whoever she appoints will use, shall we say, very broad discretion. You know, this is a way of enacting, she can essentially enact concealed carry reform all by herself, without changing the law, which the legislature would have to do. Another thing we would like to get rid of is the ballistics database. Every time you buy a gun in Maryland, a new gun, it has to come on a fired shell casing, fired by the distributor, which is then entered into a database. They spent tens of millions of dollars on this thing. It has not even solved one crime. Not one. It's completely useless. It's a large waste of money.
You can change the barrel with this one.
Yeah, you can drop another barrel in if you have a Glock or something. And this is a real nuisance. Actually, I was going to buy a gun. I had a hard time finding one. I found one, but it didn't have shell casing, so they couldn't sell it to me. My brother, who was in Virginia, he bought the same gun, and his had a shell casing with it, so I asked him if he wanted to trade. First thing we can do is, we'd like to do, but what we can't do is to get rid of the handgun roster board. Every new gun, new model of gun that's manufactured has to be approved by the handgun roster board before it can be sold in Maryland. This was a big fight a number of years ago. It has not really been a problem. They're saying, well, it's just a cover to ban all guns or something, but it actually hasn't caused too much problem. We would still like to get rid of it just because we don't like the idea of it. So I think especially the thing about the concealed carry and don't forget, the governor controls the budget in Maryland. In most states, it's the legislature that draws the budget, and in some states, governor has line item veto. In Maryland, it's the governor who draws the budget, and the legislature can remove line items, but they can't add anything. So this gives you, the governor, enormous power to blackmail the senators and delegates. And I watched Clint Denning do this for 8 years. He was really good at it. He'd say, one time he left out all the state aid to the counties for education. And he says, well, if we pass smart growth, we can always do a supplemental budget and put it back in. And he was really good at it. So the governor has enormous power. The governor has enough power to cut spending all by herself. You know, if the legislature won't repeal the tax, we'll just use the surplus to pay down, Maryland's huge debt load, and we'll blackmail them to do it. It's kind of an art form. So the governor has a very strong governor. The things we're saying that we're going to do, we can do if we get elected. And I think a lot of people also, there are many people, a lot of progressives in the peace movement, they're not going to like our economic plan or our gun rights plan, but they'll like the ordering the guard home, and they may vote for us, and I'm going to make this pitch to them. Vote for us. If this is what you want, then vote for us. Send them a message that you want the Maryland Guard ordered home. Send them a message that you want the sales tax reduced or eliminated. So I think we can get a lot of votes from people who think, well, they're not going to get elected, fortunately, but we'll vote for them and send this message to them. So I think this campaign has a lot of potential to shape things up in the race. And as we've heard tonight, even a few percent is enough to really put the fear of God into them. So that's basically what we're trying to do, is shape things up in the election and to put the party on the map.
I would like to add that I'm not going to take it for granted that people in the peace movement, for example, would not accept our economic plan or even the self-defense plan. Our position on self-defense does, a priori. First of all, the sales tax, as Lorenzo was fond of pointing out, it hurts the poor the most. It hurts the poor the most. And secondly, my whole approach to things like, state spending is that, okay, the state is right now sponsoring this or that program with money that was taken initially from the taxpayer and then filtered down, maybe you see like at best a third of that, in front of you in the form of some kind of service. Would it be more efficient if you just kept the money to begin with and then you'd be able to provide for yourself? You'd be able to pay your doctor, you'd be able to pay for your children's education and hire someone to pick up your trash, it might charge you a lot less. So, in Baltimore City, I think it's now $7,000 per pupil. What are we getting for that? We're getting actually a negative result.
Parents are dying.
Okay, very good. In 2008, we had a candidate by the name of Gary Hoover, who ran in the 6th Congressional District. Gary was a former Democrat who changed over to the Libertarian Party. And even though he was new to running as a candidate, he turned out to be an excellent one. He was a car salesman, so the two to a certain extent go hand in hand. Unfortunately, Gary, due to health problems, had to move back to the Pittsburgh area, Pennsylvania area, because I would have loved to have had him run again. I was trying to twist his arm into getting him to run. But the 6th Congressional District extends all the way from the West Virginia border all the way out to Cecil County, to Susquehanna. And Gary went out of his way to go. He was at Harvard Community College for a debate. He came out to our picnic at Dave Stenz in Cecil County, covered a tremendous amount of ground, and the executive board wanted to award him with a Defender of Liberty Award, which I'll certainly be sending him on Monday. And like I said, I wish he could have run again, because I think he did really well for our standards. He got 3.6% of the vote, and I think with a little bit of money and with the groundwork laid, he could have gotten 5 or 6%. He really worked it, and he was a great candidate. Yes, absolutely.
Very good.
Our final.